Call the July 20th common council meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here. The quorum, please rise, join the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I was gonna wish Alderman Dandrea farewell, but nah, we'll wait until later. First item on, and everybody has now self-introduced to Tyler, our new assistant city engineer. Tyler, just wave, so everybody, assistant city engineer. Okay, with that, we'll open the citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you want to say. Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to congratulate somebody for even putting some money forward to put the stairs out at the Rock, but that does not solve the problem. The problem is the road is in the wrong position at 2 feet difference, and the sidewalk going the other direction has got a bad slope. And yet we pay Graffy to protect us. We have our own engineer that's supposed to protect us from this unusual construction. I just can't understand why we still keep this gentleman in on our salary. If he can't take care of us and protect us from the bad design like that. And you told me one time that you were working on the stairs and it took you quite a while. And I don't even know what they're going to be like because it might be wood, it might be plastic, it might be concrete. But, it's going to be bad news for the plow because that'll be sticking out. And people, I've talked to elderly people about it. They can't get out of the car when they park there. It's just ridiculous. But I just wanted to mention also that it took us almost 2.5 years to open up Pleasant View Pavilion. Now, why is that?
That's Mr. Lewandowski, address your comments to me, and let's not get personal or I'm going to have you leave the room. You address the comments to me.
All right. But we have the Pleasant View. Again, 2.5 years in construction, and now finally they're open. And who's running that, you or the engineer? But it's a disaster. Not only that, but nobody checks onto that park. It's a dog park, and nobody stops these people from using it as a dog park. I just can't, just the other day I rode down 60th Street beyond Oakwood. They painted the road with yellow lines and white lines, and guess what? There's about 50 potholes, and nobody's taking care of it. One of the things that goes on here, they're telling me that there is no funds for roads. We're kind of short on funds. Yet we're looking at buying or building paths, bike paths, walking paths, and all this. And we still are approaching this company, Graffy. They have no business even coming into our place. We should get somebody else. I've talked to the president for a while. This is ridiculous. And I really appalled the fact that we do have an unusual way to do some naming of places, buildings, parks. I think that what we should have is some kind of definite way, like a committee or something that does that, but that's something that. But I'm appalled at the way the roads are, and we have people that are supposed to be taking care of the roads. I don't know why they don't fix the potholes. This is ridiculous. My street alone has potholes, and nobody has touched that road since 1984. They haven't even tarred it or anything, patched the holes up, nothing. And it's been there, that and the other street too, the next street, Coventry. It's just unusual that I got to pay taxes and see all this bad news, and you keep hiring people that can't handle
it. Easy, fella. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, sir, please.
Okay, I am Dan Kaminsky. I live at 9880 South 112th Street. It's my property. And the reason I came here today is because in, I think it's item G10, is a discussion about voting for a plan for Ryan Creek Trail. And in there, it talks about how the owner of 9880, myself, contacted Glenn Morrow and showed interest in selling a strip of land. And I did call. That was, you know, all accurate. But I just wanted to, you know, just to say today that I, you know, I had a couple weeks now since that to look into some things and think about it and you know, thought otherwise. So if I could, I just have an email that I wrote to Glenn that I'd just like to read just to describe that in detail. So I wrote, regarding the Ryan Creek Trail design and the phone conversations you and I had on Friday, July 9th, I would like to confirm that I oppose the construction of a 10-foot bike trail crossing my two driveways and front lawn at 9880 South 112th Street. This is based on consideration of the effect on the property's resale value, liability regarding possible young trespassers drawn to our pond. We have a pond in the front yard, and I was a kid. I would. Overall state appearance and feel of the property. It's R1, whereas R5 is going in around us. As I did mention during our phone conversations, it's also a conservation easement along the north corner that could pose an obstacle to route design. And I'm sorry to say I would not be willing to sell a 20-foot strip of land for the proposed trail. I ask that if possible, the design of the trail incorporate property that does not currently have homeowners, which is the Ryan Meadows development across the street from myself. And therefore, these new owners will knowingly purchase their property with the trail present rather than be subjected to it once the property is maturely established. Although I'm sure that the intent of this trail is for public benefit, I hope that yourself and other city officials take the current homeowners' concerns to heart. I purchased this R1 estate for my grandparents to raise my family in a country atmosphere. And all is changing quickly around us with R5 neighboring subdivisions developing across and some planning going on around us as well. By having the Ryan Creek Trail designed to circumvent our front lawn and driveways, this would be one small ask that would put a big smile on our face. So that's what I wrote to Glenn, and that's what I had to say today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Hello. I'm Carol Kaminsky, 5360 South Greentree Drive, New Berlin, formerly of 9880 South 112th here in Franklin. The grandparents that Dan referred to are my parents. Dan is my son. I'm here to support Dan that we thoroughly object to having a bike trail put right in front of his home. I am referring to item G10, the analysis. And I'm reading a statement directly from there. It says, to ensure that new homeowners in Ryan Meadows are not surprised with a new running trail through their neighborhood and to provide an added feature for this subdivision, staff would like to proceed with construction of the Ryan Creek Trail as soon as practical. Well, believe me, we were surprised, shocked, dismayed, stressed out. I am backtracking now two paragraphs prior to that, and I'm reading the last phrase of the last sentence of the fourth paragraph. It says that there are alternative paths to South 112th. I am here to plead with you to please share with us, if not at this meeting, at the meeting that I believe is Thursday night, what are those alternative paths? And I plead with you to please not cross right in front of 9880 South 112th. My husband and I have several safety concerns. This, and not necessarily in this order, but these are the main concerns. Dan has a 2- and 4-year-old. Those are my grandchildren. I'm very concerned about the safety of those grandchildren. I certainly would not want people wandering in a 10-foot path in front of my yard, nor do I believe you nor anyone else would. I also ask you to consider the pond there. That pond, as Dan said, when Dan was a little boy, I would take him to ponds. Of course, children gravitate towards ponds. I am very concerned about people thinking that that is now a public park area and they can gravitate towards that pond, children and adults, and play in there. Again, that is my son's family home. It crosses not one but two driveways. What a great inconvenience. There's a driveway at the north and there's a driveway at the south. I again ask you, would you want a 10-foot wide path or wider crossing your front home? And again, it's the privacy. That area, my parents moved that home there in 1977. It's changing drastically. I guess we would call that progress. We are less than thrilled with it, as I can imagine you would think we would feel that way. And to have that area across the street, which now has homes in the Ryan Meadows, which have been put 10 to 12 feet home, I understand that they could put basements there. Well, Dan is now looking at homes 10 to 12 feet high. If, and indeed, a trail were put there, he loses the little privacy that he had. He's already losing it. He has the potential to lose it on the north and on the east. I implore you, please, 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 do not also take his privacy and his safety for his children and safety for any potential passersby. Please do not also take that and put a trail in front of his home at 9880 South 112th. Thank you. And again, I'm very, very interested in hearing what are the alternatives. I ask you to look into those alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Representative Skronsky, good evening.
Evening. Of course, I think everybody knows who I am, but it's 8642 South 116th Street, Ken Skronsky, citizen. I was here at the first time when the first trail was proposed at 116th Street. A lot of people forget that that land down 116th Street and even behind and north of it is not owned by the residents, it is owned by the electric power company. So there's a 75-foot setback, if I remember right, that is not owned by the city or personally owned. They have easements to go across for the driveways. But I'm in favor of it, and I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it done well, meeting all the regulations to the state and the municipality. I think it's good. I see bikers down this road every day in front of my house, sometimes one, sometimes eight abreast, and that's really not the best thing in the world. Even though it says it's a 35-mile-an-hour speed zone, that is not necessarily true. So, and I know the police department does whatever they can, but they can't be everywhere. I wish it's done right. I hope you got the grant like they did the last time. It's unfortunately, it should have been built a long time ago, but any of the extensions that are on there, I haven't seen those or got any notices on them, but I'm in favor of it, so thank you very much for your attention. And Dan, congratulations. Go for your retirement, I guess, and relax. Thanks for doing a good job.
Hello, Mark.
Mark Stephen calls.
I know you're looking at me and you're looking at Dan.
No, did I say Dan or Mark?
He
Mark?
Said Dan.
Okay, Mark. Not Dan, sorry.
I know my last name.
Well, that's all right. You're close. Thanks for doing a great job when you're here.
You're welcome for me, too.
Yeah, you do a good job. I mean, all of you do a great job. I know what it takes to be up there, what you have to do. And thank you very much.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Seeing no one else rise, I will close the citizens' comment period. We'll do some business, and then we'll go to 12. Item C is approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting July 6th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have no hearings, no organizational business, no letters and petitions. Move on to G1, consent agenda. Any requests for separate action? Is there a motion? Alderman Mayor.
One clarification. Now, the G1 with the
nothing to do with what the gentleman that was just up here speaking of.
One's 116th Street, the other one's 112th.
Yeah, I get that, but they're
I got it.
I can explain.
So no separate action?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Hanneman and Barber. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G2 is an ordinance to amend the municipal code to prohibit the manufacture, distribution, dispensing, possession of controlled substances and related offenses. Chief Oliva.
This stems from the problem that the district attorney's office does not prosecute a lot of small possession cases of drugs. And so a lot of those cases that don't get prosecuted, nothing happens at all to the person. We do have a city ordinance that allows us to write municipal citations for possession of small amounts of marijuana, but no other drugs. So I asked the city attorney to draft this ordinance that allows us to issue a municipal citation anytime the district attorney refuses to issue charges for drug possession, other drugs. They're all listed in state statute, so wide variety of drugs. But that's basically give us a ability to issue citations when the district attorney does not prosecute.
Questions?
Motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Barber and Hanneman again. This is a trend. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G3, page 33, is an ordinance to amend ordinance 2020-24-53, an ordinance adopting 2021 annual budgets for capital improvement fund to provide $58,000 for additional storage for police video recording. And this will use a lot of the savings from the next gen 911 project. Mayor Wilhelm records a roll call. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries. Six ayes, no absent, no abstentions. We move on to G4, page 35, the purchase of additional data storage for the WatchGuard in-squad video systems. Get used to this. We'll be buying lots of storage. Any questions? Is there a motion to approve? Sure. Mayor and Dandria. Chief.
Yeah, our old in-squad video system is very old, and it's not being supported anymore, so we're transitioning to a new video system. And it's more high resolution, and it's going to take a lot more storage. So we just find ourselves needing more storage, basically, to store the video.
There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G5. Yeah. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Page 37, request of the Common Council to approve a purchase of Pro Phoenix Wireless Data Assistant Site License for the fire department. Mayor and Wilhelm, another trend tonight. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G6, page 41, resolution for inclusion of pedestrian access for West Forest Home Avenue in the 2023 Milwaukee County DOT road reconditioning project. Lots of stuff here. Recommendation for staff is to adopt the resolution for inclusion of a 10-foot path.
So moved.
Second.
Nelson and Mayor, questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G7. Let's skip G7. Let's go to G10 for the moment and get that taken care of. This is on page 89, a resolution to authorize Grafe USA to design a portion of the Ryan Creek Trail through Ryan Meadows Subdivision. And this is Mr. City Engineer.
So you may recall that in previous meetings we've talked about the Ryan Creek Trail. So it's basically going to, the plans are, Grafe is doing the master plan for it. The idea is basically extend from Muskego city limits to about the extension of the Root River Trail around 60th Street. So you may recall that we are working on the 116th Street Trail that's going to cross Ryan Road in this area. We're looking at a trailhead in this area. The developer working on the parcels here, has talked about moving a trail somewhere along there, and it would come over to what we call Monarch Drive. Monarch Drive is the curb opening that you'll see in all the construction that's been going on recently. Someday that will be a signal. As soon as the conditions warrant, that's anticipated to be a signal, so it'll be a safe place for pedestrians and bicycles to cross. So we, last meeting, we agreed to reimburse the developer tonight. You'll be asked to change it from the developer to the actual contractor. So we're going to take what were 5-foot sidewalks on Monarch and up Chicory to a point roughly in here. We're going to convert those to a 10-foot walkway. So therefore, as the pedestrians cross Loomis, they can continue on Monarch. They will actually cross right here, continue up Chicory. This is where the basin is. So G10 is asking to go ahead and do a design to basically get from this location on Chicory to somewhere on 112th Street. And so in the future, we're going to, as part of Grace's master plan, they're going to figure out which properties we should purchase and make that continuation. So previously, I had talked to this property owner right here, 9917, and they had expressed an interest in possibly selling us a 20-foot strip of lands where I could proceed the pathway through somewhere like this, continue out to 112th Street. And then you may know that another developer is looking at a concept plan around the backside, a large C-section, if you will, for a subdivision. So having said that, I hired an appraiser to appraise what the property value would be for a 20-foot strip there. Late Friday afternoon, I talked to this owner. The conversation was substantially lower than what they envisioned. So I'm proceeding to a backup plan. So it took me a few days, but this afternoon I was able to talk to this owner here. There is no house here. This owner purchased the property a few years ago as an investment property with the intention of selling to a developer for a subdivision someday. So what we have discussed and what I've given direction to Grafe is instead of designing this trail to come down, sticking out to 112th Street, I would envision that it would come along here. It would follow this property line and come out to 112th Street right here. This is where the design would stop. How it continues from there on over, that's yet to be determined in the future. That was as of about 4 o'clock this afternoon, we made that decision. Part of the deal that, and again, nothing's definite, set in stone yet. Obviously, we need to go through processes to acquire property. But one of the offers I made was if he were to let us put a trail in, if in the future he were to find a developer to develop this, at that time, we would allow them to relocate our pathway and swap the land, you know, for this location to some other location convenient that would fit their development plan. So as of right now, pending the approval tonight of G10, that's what the design with Grafe would do. I actually have some of the previous drawings I've sent you. This would be the alternate route that we're looking at. The citizens' comment period is referring to this parcel right here. How I get up there, whether I go on this side or that side, that is yet to be determined in sometime in the future. So as of right now, we're looking from, let me back up. Would go from this spot, do something like this, and get up to Chicory. That's what G10 is about tonight.
Since you're zoomed out there, Glenn, do you recall what the parcels are that were in conversation with another developer for that U-shaped residential development?
You're talking this parcel. So it goes from here, back here. This property is owned by MMSD. MMSD, I believe. They're looking at this parcel here. They're looking at this parcel here. I think it's this parcel here. So
okay.
This, and yeah.
You're right here.
Yep. So.
And there you go.
I did ask this person here if we could.
The same guy.
Yeah, if we could just go through with the least disturbance to wetlands and natural resources and. He would really prefer us to stay on the edge, so that's where I'm going to direct the consultant to design.
Alderman Mayer.
So, Glenn, both of the options you just showed us tonight, the one where you originally had to deal with the 20-foot section. You're going to come just south of the cul-de-sac there,
yes.
212th Street. And now the new one that you, or the one that you just renegotiated, both of those are away from the homeowner that's here tonight, correct?
Yes, so the homeowner's, so part of the confusion, I shouldn't say confusion, but the full story is when I was discussing this situation here, that was the phone call that was referenced tonight. And we talked about possibly running it up here. So when this developer does his development, his plans, concept plans show a road does something like this and lots up here. So the pathway would, earlier concept, the pathway would come up to here and then follow that roadway and get out to the Bryan Creek Interceptor, and that would be our pathway to get to the east.
So that is still part of your plan?
I don't know. So, again, Grafe is doing a master plan. So I need to somehow get from here to the east. So whether it comes up the east side, the west side of this street to here, or maybe it comes down further south and around this way,
okay,
that's yet to be determined. So
okay.
And there's going to be some, you'll start seeing some activity with public meetings and Parks Commission meetings and, again, public information meetings and soliciting input.
Now, just south of there, we are going to acquire or have already acquired a large section of open land as well, correct?
So I think you're referring to the 112th Street. So Waste Management has the landfill right here. There are several parcels here that we've talked about getting the wetland delineation that we're looking at doing something with in the future.
Okay.
Possibly parkland. That's why we're using park impact fees for reimbursement.
Would the trail go in that direction?
Yeah, so assuming that would be some sort of a parkland, passive or active parkland, we'd like to get the trail down 112th Street.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I remember when, it was a while ago, I was on the Trails Committee, and at that time, we had quite a plan put together. It's really hard to not see the big picture on this and understand where all the other connections are. Can you bring a presentation to us that shows us the existing and the existing parks and how, you know, we can connect? Because it seems like it makes better sense to go south on 112th than to go north, especially because where's the Franklin Park Savannah State Natural Area? Where you're
this area here.
Okay, and so where would the you want to try to get to that one?
Well,
or
so,
you going on Oakwood?
So that's what the master plan project is, mm-hmm, to look at. So they're going to try to identify sites that we'd like to get to. So for example, the DPW facility is here, Zurin's here, the school property now owns the Archdiocese property. There's been a discussion that possibly that might be a trailhead because the school is talking about some fields like baseball, soccer kinds of fields, that maybe that's where we put a restroom facility and that's where maybe a trailhead. But the whole idea is we'd like, this is where the Root River Trail is going to come through. So maybe Oakwood Road. I mean, that'll be part of the public solicitation, and Grafe is going to put this all together and look at potential properties and give us a strategy, because the purpose is we like to do it now. We're seeing subdivisions pop up. With the success of the recent subdivisions, we see a lot more subdivisions with concept plans. We'd like to get this trail concept in place so when people come in, we can have a trunk line to connect to.
So I guess if we could see, you know, a bigger picture, and that's what you're saying that Grafe will bring into us, but it will only be a partial picture. It won't show what's connecting east and south, or it will.
I would say that the Grafe master plan is to identify locations we'd like to hit, you know, so, and it will identify other trails and possibly trails that could be connected, but for the most part, this is all farm ground right now. And so when it develops the subdivisions, we'd like to have the trunk line so it could hit.
Well, we only have less than 3% of isolated natural resources left in Franklin. That was back in the 90s. So those are areas that maybe you want to also think about connecting based on the sewer pack saying when we did the Ryan Creek Interceptor that we're supposed to afford those more protection. I'm hoping that you'll include some of those connection areas, because if a developer comes in, they're going to have to save a certain percent under our current ordinance anyway.
Most definitely. And so I would keep your eyes open for the public information meetings and make sure that Grafe understands exactly all those locations, and we'll instruct them to find those locations.
Okay, they're all in Plan 176, the sewer packs report right now. Okay. So they're all identified already. Not a lot of them left, but they're there. Thanks.
Alderman Nelson.
Mr. Moran, given the light of the latest changes, I was prepared to do tonight option A and B for the motion. Would that now be changed to just A?
No, I would still authorize Grafe to perform the design, and we'd like to get the construction going this year. As you know, we're running into the budget issues with park impact fees. We'd love to, preferable, get those spent this year.
Okay. I'm prepared to make a motion if anyone else can.
Is there a second?
Second.
Barbara beat you, Dan. Sorry.
Oh, it's a trend.
just so it's clear, you guys, the council will see what's going to go to bid. So, and also we're talking about everything to the west of 112th Street. We're not talking bidding anything in here. Okay, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. This is A and B. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's turn back to page 47. The procedure for filling the vacancy for the first district alderman's seat. And with that, I just want to offer Mark my best wishes for the future. I know I'll probably see, no, I won't see you tomorrow. But you've been a good friend and an okay neighbor for almost 20 years. And I know that you and Kim will have a great time in Florida, but we'll see you. We normally give proclamations, and we'll do that, Mark. You and I will schedule it for sometime in the short near future. Sure. So with that, yeah, we can do that, but we got to wait until December. Yeah. So, Mark, I wish you and Kim the very best, and you'll be back in September for your son's wedding, so that'll be good, too. Sure. So with that, there's a procedure in the council action sheet. Anybody, Alderman Dandrea, push your button.
You know, I'm going to abstain on this discussion. I've been advised they're a very high-ranking individual, so.
Peggy?
Yeah, Peggy.
Okay. Any questions on the procedure? Alderman Wilhelm, push a button.
I, too, appreciate all Alderman Dandrea's input and service. So I'd like to thank him for that and wish him well. I guess I'm fine with making the motion. I'd like to hear from the rest of my colleagues, but I would suggest if we could give citizens just a little bit more time. It would be nice to have maybe a meeting where some people that might put in could come to. So if we could just change the date for 2 weeks out, I would be fine with making the motion to put this ball rolling and take some applications. I just found out about it. First, I found out about it on Facebook, so I thought maybe it would.
let me just add a piece of information. The timing on this is to accommodate swearing in a new alderman, get that person a little bit of training, and then get them to a league local government 101 class as it's offered. And the timing and all that is pretty compact. So,
when is that? Because I've never been offered to go to a league 101 class, so when is that coming up?
Soon.
Yeah, it's the first week in September, so I
remember if it's the 7th or the 9th.
And so it's in a vacation hotspot. I don't know, somewhere up north in a small town with nothing to do.
It's in
Wausau.
Is this going to be paid for by the council? Or, so can we all go?
There is in person, which the league suggests that newly elected officials who have never been to a meeting participate that way. You can decide you're the common council and it's your budget.
Well, I guess it's not really on the agenda, but I just was curious.
Yeah, the timing on that is, it is the first week, and I apologize, I don't have it in front of me.
So even if we did the date in the paper 1 week out, we'd still be okay then, instead of two?
Well, the timing is such that we'll accept letters of intent, letters of interest until the 12th, and that'll give the council time to read them over, consider, you know, depending on how many we
That's
get.
Pretty close.
And then that gives you almost a week to consider it, make phone calls if you want, and then vote on it on the 17th after presentation if you'd like.
Unless you want to schedule a special council meeting that following week, if you feel the need that you would want them to observe a common council meeting in process. So they could observe the 3rd and the 17th. And if you wanted to schedule a special council meeting.
My only concern was just giving a little bit more notice to people so they would have time to make that decision. So it's a pretty big decision, especially if it's someone who has a job, or in which most of us all, you know, have jobs. And then you got to notify and talk to your employer and blah, blah, blah. So I was just thinking, you know, another week would allow a little bit more time.
Now, let me see here. I actually saw Alderman Nelson first, then Alderman Mayer, then Alderman Barber. John, push your button.
So I guess looking at this August 12th date, now you kind of touched on a little bit. I kind of wish they would have more time to go it, but I'm thinking August 12th. I mean, if this is something somebody's passionate about, they've got till the 12th to turn it in. That's 3 full weeks plus. I just don't believe the word is really out there that D1's going to be open, and maybe that's, you know, if everybody knew, 3 weeks is enough. But, you know, for those that aren't closely in tuned to what goes on in D1, just saying. I yield.
Alderman Mayer?
Yeah, I echo that. I think many people are going to find this out tonight or tomorrow or when this is published, and I think they need a little bit of time to consider it. So that's one side of it. I think a little more time than August 12th, but the other side of it is I would hate to have it at a meeting like this and rush it. I think we should have a special meeting the following week where we can interview candidates. I'm anticipating a couple. I mean, he's going to be hard to choose to fill. We're going to have people coming out of the woodwork to take his spot. So I think we might want to interview people and have a meeting. I don't think it's appropriate to have it at a regular meeting ahead of time. So I think a special meeting would be in order the following week.
It's whatever you guys want to do. I will tell you that all of the past resignations have been voted on at a regular meeting. It's fine. You can do whatever you want, but they have been all done at a regular meeting with presentations and questions and answers. See, we got Barber and then Hanneman.
I agree with the special meeting that Dan suggested. I think we could still get the word out and still have a timeline if we're all in agreement that we will come for a special meeting to have this done. This has to be from District 1, the candidates, correct? And I'm just wondering if Dan has been, has anybody in training to, or not Dan, but if Mark, if Mark has anybody in training that he's been working with over this time that he'd let, you know, secretly grooming?
I have abstained from this issue.
Good answer.
He was grooming his wife.
She left first.
But I would go along with the trying to meet all the timelines with a special meeting.
Okay, Alderman Hamlin.
I think Alderman Dan Mayer is going to have to move to the first district following the discussions tonight. And I expect Alderman Dandrea to go door to door in his district and beat the bushes to get some people to show interest. The point that I want to make, and I'm fine if we do a special meeting, my question is, will the person coming in to the first district seat also be given the same committee and commission assignments that Alderman Dandrea currently has? And I'm asking because this leaves a big void in the Finance Commission as we're going forward into the budget season. And we're going to have a lot of meetings coming up in September, and so that's kind of the lens I'm looking at this time frame with.
And that's an excellent question. I've been giving it some thought, and what I came to in my head is what I usually come to on appointments to boards and commissions is it depends on who the individual is as to what board or commission they sit on. So I guess I'm not prepared to give a blanket statement until we know who it is. But again, do what you want, but that's why I would encourage sooner rather than later. So. Okay, well, there's the council action sheet that says August 12th. Alderman Wilhelm.
I make a motion to accept letters from residents interested in filling the first district position created by the resignation of Alderman Dandrea, effective on the 21st, with the letter intent to go, let's see, we're going to fill it on the 12th is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you want the letters by the 12th. So let's make the letters by the 17th and the filling it the following.
The following what?
The following council meeting.
That would be the 7th of September, Madam Clerk.
If you would like to change the, if you're going to make it the following council meeting, first meeting in September, you can make the letter of intent a later time. It doesn't have to be the 17th. The deadline would be the, you know,
well,
couple
I was
days
just trying to give us more,
meeting.
Give us time, give the resident, you know, another week and give us a little bit another week and then committee the whole on the first meeting in September because that would we wouldn't have to call a special meeting then or?
That would be Labor Day.
Oh, I don't have the calendar, so
yeah.
Okay. Labor Day would be the 6th.
Labor Day is the 6th.
Okay. So a special meeting during the first week of September or is, what's the ending of
if
let me. I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this, but if someone was interested, they'll be interested. An extra week is not going to help them make a decision. And if it takes them 3 weeks to make a decision, do we really want them sitting up here? So, you know. I just offer that.
It's not about that. It's about more notice time, I guess, more notice. Because not everybody's going to pick up the paper and read the paper and find out this notice like that. There, you know, some people don't pick up the paper and read it until it's been sitting around for a while. I noticed that with the city newsletter. I can see when how long it sits there after the newsletter comes out and then the calls start coming in. So it's... I had made the motion to try to amend the dates, and I'm open to suggestions.
If I may make a suggestion, once the letters are in, we could actually have the meeting anytime after that and appoint them to take their role the first meeting in September,
mm-hmm.
or whenever we want.
True. Yeah,
rather
fine.
Than hold off till September to appoint them. I think once we get the letters in, and I don't care when we decide to do that, we could set a special meeting anytime after that.
Okay, so 17th of the letters, and then the meeting at the, what would you suggest for the council?
So here's the calendar.
Anytime after the 17th, then.
No, I was saying you could make the letters the 19th.
Okay.
And then
the meeting.
And then the council meeting, we could do it on the Tuesday, the 24th, or have a special one on Monday, the 23rd.
I'm not available on the 24th.
Well, you're,
and
you
since we don't have a...
you don't vote unless there's a tie.
Alderman Mayor will be the council, acting council president at that time, so...
Oh, I didn't know he would be here if it's effective the 21st.
Alderman Mayor.
Oh, Mayor. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Or you can make the 25th.
Why don't we just do it on the meeting of the 24th and just come in a little early?
There is no meeting on the 24th.
We have one on the 17th.
There's actually 3 weeks between council meetings, between the end of September, end of August and beginning of September. So there would be 3 weeks.
Well, Mayor, I guess the poll for the council at this point is the 17th okay to get the letters or the 19th? If you could, if we could decide on that first.
Well, if you're not gonna act on them on the 17th, the 19th works, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the 19th, and then for us to make the decision. Anybody have a preference on that?
Make a date. Let's not stretch it out any more than we have to and have them be able to be prepared to come in.
25th.
Okay.
Okay, so the motion is as on the council action sheet, except for the date of August 12th, change to the 19th, the August, I wrote over it so I can't read it. Whatever that August date is, turns to the 25th. Is that your motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of that motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
No.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Nobody.
Okay. We have four ayes, one no, no absent, one abstention. Motion carries.
So let's just clarify that all for the
letters of interest by the 19th of August. Yes. Thank you, Jesse. And action on this at a special meeting August 25th at 6:30 p.m.
And the
swearing in will happen at that time.
And the borders, boundaries of District 1 are on the website. They're on our bulletin board. We can email them to anyone who is interested. They're pretty much out there available to everybody.
Will that be in the notice? That it's the district map will be available?
Yes. It is. The sample notice is on page 48, and the last line is the description of the boundary.
Okay.
May be obtained from our office.
Okay.
All right.
You're suitably almost dismissed, Mark. Okay, let's keep going. We got some high-pressure stuff going on here. G8 on page 51 is a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map for, Boomtown LLC. This is combining four lots into two, one on the north side, one on the south side of Loomis Road. Alderman Nelson.
Motion to approve. The staff recommends approval of the certified survey map subject to the condition in the draft resolution.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Nelson and Dandrea, all those in favor? I'm sorry, Alderman Mayer.
Will there be a hearing for the rezoning part of this?
It's already been rezoned.
No. Yes.
The answer to the question is yes.
Yes.
It's a condition.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, a resolution on page 83, a resolution to amend resolution 2021-7743 to reimburse Veit and Company and Stark Pavement for construction of a portion of the Rhine Creek Trail, $69,662.50.
Okay.
So move.
Second.
Nelson and Mayor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G10, page 89, a resolution authorized. I'm sorry, we did that. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. G11, page 103, an ordinance to amend municipal code section. Section 245-5D4, parking restrictions around Hawthorne Lane, Hawthorne Court, 92nd Street and Rawson Avenue.
Just a couple questions for Glenn. Glenn, now this, the plan that you have for item A that came through the Board of Public Works, that meets the majority of the citizens in the area's desire, correct?
Incorrect. The majority of the citizens do not want parking restrictions in their neighborhood. The exception would be on 92nd Street, and that's what this is reflecting. What I'm calling the western part of the subdivision has smaller roads, 20-foot wide roads.
Yes.
And the fire chief expressed an interest with the smaller roads not having fire hydrants, that if they were to fight a fire, they really need extra space in there. So I had so there were only a couple folks on the western side that wanted parking restrictions on their road. The majority did not want them, but the Board of Public Works discussed that they would prevent parking on what I call the inside loop.
Right.
And then on the corners, 50 feet-ish, right, more or less, on the corner. So if you see page 108, that's the exhibit that we are restricting parking.
But essentially, that meets the needs of the majority of the citizens outside of the corners. And, of course, that meets the fire chief's needs.
Correct.
Which really is not negotiable.
The vast majority did not want parking restrictions, but we did put some parking restrictions to accommodate the fire.
Right. Well, the fire department's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
So the other citizens got the compromise on the outside, with the exceptions of the corners, which is reasonable for traffic.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Move to accept.
Second.
Mayor and Barber, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G12 is the Leroy Lewandowski matter of construction of stairs at Ballpark Drive, $3,500.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Nelson, Alderman Hanneman, Mr. Alderman Mayor, you have the floor.
The TIF district paid for the sidewalk initially, correct?
So the TIF district reimbursed the developer. I would not say that it was a direct payment for things. There were things that got installed. The amounts roughly matched what the developer was paid to make sure that got put in, but it was not a direct payment for this, you know, unit price. So any overages the developer would have had to pay for.
Okay, but so basically the TIF district put in the sidewalk?
More or less, yes, sir.
And this is really a safety issue from the way I interpret it?
This is an issue where people found a way to walk where they weren't anticipated to walk, so they're climbing up a hill, if you will, so we're going to provide some stairs at that location.
So it's a safety issue without it, essentially?
I guess you can see it that way. Some people do see it that way.
All right.
I think we got a motion. Alderman Nelson, it's your project.
Push. Say it one more time. I didn't hear you.
You're not doing it.
It's push green. Ask your uncle.
It's green. Yeah, it's red. All right. One of the things.
My uncle.
One of the things that we'd been talking at the Board of Public Works and went out there and met with them, and how this is going to be, and it is absolutely a safety issue because you've got a lot of congestion where this is going to sit. It's going to have a cement stairway. It's going to have a railing. It's going to be clearly marked. It's absolutely the way to go, and it's going to make sense.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The disaster will be averted. G13, page 117 of the resolution authorized FOTH Infrastructure and Environment LLC to perform Ryan Road 76th Street Area Master Sewer Plan for $14,700. And it should be noted that both employees will use this sidewalk, will use this stairway, because they're in that building.
Hey, wait.
Nelson and Hanneman, Mr. City Engineer. What are we doing?
Okay. Gentlemen.
Because you got an order.
A gentleman is here tonight, and I want to explain for the purposes of everyone.
Okay.
So.
I tried, everybody.
I'm sorry. if you recall, there is a there was a discussion of possible development on the northeast corner of 76th and Ryan that's been delayed for the foreseeable future. As part of that development, we're going to extend a sanitary sewer from the Ryan Road, the Ryan Creek Interceptor, roughly this location, over to 76th Street, and then extend up past our DPW. You know what issues we have with the park impact fees. We have some similar issues coming up with the sewer, Southwest Sewer impact fees, starting next year. So we need to start getting some projects on our plate. It was noticed that when you look at the master plan for the Ryan Creek Interceptor, most of these areas were anticipated to head south to the Ryan Creek Interceptor. With a couple developments, primarily the school purchasing the archdiocese lands, the probability of the master trunk line sewer coming up north is probably very difficult to comprehend. So this study will actually, before we do the design, try to see how far we can extend the sewer and what areas we can collect and how we may have to make sure that everyone can be served. So that's what this issue is. The gentleman here tonight lives in this area right here.
Okay, we have a motion. Yes, we do. Mr. City Attorney.
Suggest that the motion include the agreement is subject to technical and minor changes approved by the city engineer Morrow and the city attorney Wesolowski.
Is that your motion, Alderman Nelson? And your second?
Yes.
Hanneman and Nelson all agreed to that change. Alderman Barber?
Just what are the options between A and B there?
If you just want to jump to full design, we can skip a step and we can just the problem is that we don't know exactly what we're designing for a master sewer. So until we do a plan to figure out exactly how long the sewer is, that has a big variable in how much they charge to do the design.
So you recommend A?
I recommend A.
At this point, okay.
And Glenn, would you make sure Mr. Mazzola's up to speed? And Mr. Mazzola's neighbor, please. Since we don't have a first district alderman anymore, falling down on the job there, Mark. Okay, did we vote? All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G14, consideration resolution adopting City of Franklin Code of Conduct for elected and appointed officials. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I question to the city attorney, has he had a chance to give a legal opinion on each item? I brought up a couple items previously that it don't seem to be addressed, so.
I reviewed the code and rules in their entirety and spent 51 minutes on the phone with Director of Administration Steno yesterday afternoon, and she's ready to present all of it. What's your question, Alderwoman Wilhelm? I'm proceeding in terms of the rules, title and name.
There you go, Alderwoman.
Well, the I guess there was a couple of things that I brought up previously that, for one thing, there's some conflicting things within the document. This is the first time that we've seen the second portion, which was previously a resolution, was now turned into the rules. So I hadn't been able to previously compare the two sections. The wording was there, but it was slightly changed. So now I'm looking at that. But the main question I have comes from this is the legal comment from the municipality September 2014 document. And it talks about who can attend or be excluded from closed sessions. We are often asked whether a member of government body can be excluded from a closed session of that body. The answer is no. So in this section in here, there's two sections. One that says that the mayor would say who gets to be in there, and that's in the rules. And then the other section, it talks about that you would have to have permission from the chair. So my objection to those sections, which was previously stated, was that an elected official should have the right and the privilege to gather information even in a closed session. If we're going to allow an unelected official to have to be notified, and if they're not notified, the right to deny an elected official, I don't think that meets the intent of the elected official's authority to gather information for making proper decisions. And then the fact that one part that it says it's the chair and the other part it says it's the mayor. Though that's just one example of some of the things that I saw that conflicted between the two.
Alderwoman, if you don't mind, let me address that for you. The reason there's two different words, the alderman and the chairman, is because it deals with two different structures. The mayor is the one that determines non-council members who join a closed session, not common council members. Common council members, by their nature, are required in a closed session of the common council. So that deals only with non-common council members. That's why it says mayor. The other one is the committee one, is a committee chair. And as I recall our conversation, the understanding was is that you're offering the courtesy, but the reality is that once you extend the courtesy, if you sit in the chair, there's nothing you can do about it.
I agree with both of those
statements. But it's courtesy, not necessarily.
Yes, and I agree with both of your statements that one is dressing and the other, and the other one is. That's correct. But
Peggy, do you want to address that?
But the thing is, it's not worded that way. So,
that cited Wisconsin Statute Section 1989, exclusion of members. No duly elected or appointed member of a governmental body may be excluded from any meeting of such body. When I conferred with the Director of Administration, Stino, yesterday afternoon, the proposal will be that will be approved subject to technical corrections by our respective departments.
Okay. Ms. Stino.
Okay, so in front of you have two drafts, one of the conduct and the rule, one of the rules. We can start with the rules. We've been working on this, I'd say, early to mid-February. We started first working on it. The first council committee of the whole was in April. Then we had meetings in April, May, and in June. And the direction at the last meeting was to bring back clean copies of both. So that's what's in your plan. That's what's in your packet. I did speak with the city attorney. I didn't know it was for 51 minutes, so I know that now. But it was a long time. And we went through each of the items that he talked about, and we do have a couple technical corrections. There are a few of the formatting issues, which I won't bore you with, but on page, and I'm going to go through, there was just a couple what I would call maybe more specific ones. In the first one, I would say for the rules would be under section, let me just get you the packet page. We are in section, let's just go to page 135. down under item D as in dog, the city attorney had just, again, a technical correction that just says it's going to be, you know, when it talks about being prosecuted, et cetera, he just added referred to the chief of police and the district attorney's office for prosecution. And then under penalty of perjury, or as the district attorney's office may determine. So basically it's the how to that establishment. The next one that I think is of note is the one we just spoke of, and that would be a technical correction to clarify that exclusion of the members is not part of this item 3 on page 136. I'm sorry. That's not. Yes, page 136 under the recommendations for the complaint procedure. That's really it in this document in the code of conducts. You know, we did talk about, like I said, some formatting changes. There's a passage that's in there because of labor council. City attorney was fine with that because it came from labor council. We talked a little bit about public hearings and comments, and the rules are today written the way the council practices them. However, in the future, just with the technology and current times, et cetera, we may have to clarify that if the council changes their rules. That would be it for the code of conduct. When we go to the rules.
Mayor, point of clarification. It was really hard to catch what the wording will now be from that. I know that you've said all along this is the council document. I have yet to feel like I've been able to express my concerns to the council members verbally. Each time we've tried, it's been, you know, send your comments to Peggy, which didn't come out exactly how I would have presented them. And I think I could make a case for some of the things that could be changed that I think the council probably could agree with. And I would like to be afforded the opportunity. This is a really important document for us. And I know that, you know, we're going to come on 8 o'clock and the game's coming on and people are going to get antsy, but this document is going to set the stage for how we will interact with our staff and how we will interact and assist our residents, and it's the assistance from our residents that has a concern for me. So will I be allowed to make my points in some of the things that I don't feel are clear, because this is supposed to be a document that says clear guidelines, and there are some areas that are not clear.
As I've said a million times, this is your guys' document. The reason that you don't have a redline version is because you didn't ask for a redline version, you asked for a clean copy. So, you know, we're only doing what we're asked. It's up to the council to what they want to do. Alderman Mayor.
I think the importance of this document is we need to have the final version. We need to have all answers, all questions answered before we approve it. And I really don't see the rush in getting it done tonight. And given human nature and dynamics of tonight in this meeting, I would like to see us table it one more time. Next meeting, or whatever Peggy would prefer on that one. And maybe I would also suggest that Peggy and Alderwoman Wilhelm have a discussion, just so we can have some of the major discussion out of the way, too. in between. But that would be a separate thing, tabling it till next meeting, Peggy. I don't know what the agenda for next meeting looks like, or, but I would say till next meeting.
Second.
Second.
On discussion, Alderman Nelson, and then Alderman Hannah.
I would just make it an invite. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you pointed at me.
I'll start.
No problem.
Okay. I had an opportunity before the meeting tonight to speak with Director of Administration, and if you could put those points in that we discussed, if you don't mind. And one of them under the ethics part, page 138, that I brought forth in was that 12-month rule, meaning you couldn't engage in, you couldn't take a job that's something that you were dealing with on the board. It's 12 months, and apparently that can't be put in. Is that correct, Mr. City Attorney?
Not required for city elected officials. That's the ballpark district or baseball district. That's the only place in the statute that the 12-month provisions appear. And there are, when I reviewed that over the weekend, I think, or last Friday, because I got the questions on Thursday evening, I also cited the legal opinions comments on that and cited a statute that speaks in terms of elected city municipal officials not being able to apply for a position as an officer or employee of the municipality during their term of office. It didn't include and 12 months thereafter.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yes. Then just to confirm with Peggy about the other few things that I wanted in there about attire and such, that was all I had for that. I'll yield.
Alderman Hannum.
Thank you. I move to amend the motion that this be tabled until August 17th. Given that we don't have ability for remote participation in meetings, it is impossible for me to participate in the meeting on August 3rd. And it's very important. I would like to be able to be a part of the discussion and vote on it at that point in time.
Well, but the motion for the amendment requires a second. Is there a second? And we'll do you. Alderman Mayor seconds. Alderman Wilhelm.
Just one part of the discussion on that motion, so she can speak first. And then I'll...
My clarification to accommodate Alderwoman Hanneman would be on page 145, it says the rules review would be reviewed periodically, but not less than the installation of each new council and with a new council member. And the date being the 17th and not getting the applications to the 19th, it makes sense to maybe have the additional council member so we don't have to go over it again. So the new council member would be put in place. So if we're going to already put it off to the 17th, we could adopt it maybe on the night of the 25th when we're doing it. No, I don't, but I'm just saying, or maybe the next meeting. I mean, it just makes sense if you're going to have someone that close. And I'm perfectly, you know, happy to accommodate either, but there are at least three points in here that I would really like some direction on and some to be addressed. There are others, but I think there's really three very important ones.
I'll second the rescind.
Okay, the motion is rescinded. Any other?
And I would move to table this until the first meeting in September.
That would be your. Let's do this differently so we don't have a million motions. Who's the maker of the original motion?
Alderman Mayer.
Alderman Mayer is the 25th. Okay by you?
Or the September 7th.
Anytime is fine. 25th of September, or which are you suggesting?
I'm fine with you.
I'm too.
September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. The motion is to table till the first meeting in September. Who's the second?
On the original motion.
On the original motion.
Alderman Nelson.
Is that, you approved that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we're all clear. First meeting in September. Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I had
a question. Oh,
wait. Well, you keep turning it off, so I can't.
Okay, I will say that that was not a vote. Alderman Barber. I don't have the authority to do that, but I just did it.
I guess my concern is that I'd like to see this on the record as soon as possible or on the books. I guess what happens in the interim now, so that when we come up to this date, we can take a vote and move on. And I'd like to see it happen rather than delay it come the 25th again. So however those things can be resolved between Alderman Wilhelm and the city administrator, I'd like to see that happen, because it seems like every time we come up to this recently, now we're going to postpone it again, and I'd like to get this on the books and moving on.
Madam Director of Administration.
I would suggest that if that's the direction of the council, we should really hear what the issues are right now, because this isn't something that I'm going to resolve. This is something that the council would need to resolve. So I would suggest that the council would want to hear what the three issues, or how many ever issues there are outstanding right now.
Okay, we have not taken action on the motion, so let's do it this way and hope nobody pulls a parliamentary move on me. Under the discussion of the motion, Alderman Wilhelm is going to very quickly outline her three issues.
Okay, I got to select those three. Okay, I guess the first one is on page 129 regarding the social media section E. It says, all officials shall avoid expressing opinions or bias regarding city business or issues that may come before the council, commission, committees, when it may be construed that they are acting on behalf of the city. My question there is newsletter. I think you all know that I have done a consistent newsletter for many years. I give a copy of it to the clerk. It is my opinion. It says it is authorized by me, but that is avoiding. I mean, that does, it actually is saying that I'm giving an expressing opinion regarding city business. So are we going to say that Alderman will not be able to do newsletters, or because I do post them on my Facebook page. So can we make it say that if, as long as it says authorized and written by, which is a requirement during campaign times anyway, if that is enough clarification that it's not speaking on behalf of the city, or where we would like to take that. The other issue is on page 130. Where,
let's do one.
Okay.
Mr. City Attorney.
Simply include a line where you say that this presentation is by you, and then you put a parenthesis or another line at the end. Please note that I am not acting on behalf of the city.
So if we can have the direct wording so everyone knows what that wording will be inserted in here, that it has to say that?
We can draft that.
Okay. 130, and this is about the fourth paragraph down. To me, this needs to be clear. It seems to conflict with the...
What did it start with?
Members of the council, let's see. Oh, this pretty much all has to do with... how we're supposed to interact and get questions answered and stuff. It says that we must be diligent in maintaining the chain of command. We shall not engage in directing employees in their task or injecting themselves into projects or tasks. So, you know, that makes sense. I don't think anybody tells a staff member what to do, because we all know that that's not our duty. But, and then it says that if you have specific questions you want to communicate, they should be put in writing. and sent to the mayor or the director of administration. And then on page 140, it says that you're supposed to go to staff and get questions answered before the meeting. So on page 140, and this is kind of how we used to do it, it talks about, and it's on page what, the letter F under debate. Additional information requested by a member should be addressed to the responsible department head prior to the council meeting. So here we're saying we can, you know, address things with council members and get questions. And on the other section, we're saying that if you have something to communicate, it has to go in writing. So we just need a really clear process that ties those two sections together. So one, if it's okay that we can talk to department heads prior to the meeting, but then the rest of the time we can't talk to department heads regarding questions and communication. They have to go to the mayor. We need a clear line about when we can and when we're not supposed to talk to staff
okay.
and get questions.
Let me answer that for you. Page 130 says, should an individual council member see a deficiency, need a project or task performed, or have a special request for service or any other directive for staff? Those are the key words to that. Nowhere in there does it say question. Again, common council can't act on their own and direct staff. That's what that deals with. The other quote that you offered, or the other section, deals with you have a question on an item on your agenda. Perfectly fine to call and give an answer to that, because you're not directing staff to do anything. You're asking a question. So, you know, we can clarify it, but...
Yes, it should be very clear, because the whole document is to make things clear so there's no ambiguity in that. And I guess I kind of have a little bit of a problem that the only way we can communicate on a special issue is through the mayor or the director of administration. For example, if I have, you know, a light pole down, or are you going to be want to be bothered with me calling up, you know, Glenn and saying, hey, I got a light pole down? Is that the role that you now want us to delegate all of that to you? Snow plow issue. Hey, could you double check this? Same thing.
Let me answer that this way. There is a procedure online for streetlights being out, and if a road gets missed, that's a call to Andrea that says your road got missed. That's not directing staff to do anything. That's informing them that there's an issue. It's very similar. It's an informal complaint procedure is all that is.
Okay,
that's,
so
you're not saying, hey, Kevin, get your butt over here and plow College Avenue.
So could we insert something about informal complaints can be brought to their attention with the, you know, and we're not directing them, we're just bringing it to their attention. So you don't have to go through the complaint process, which does not work.
It's the complaint process actually works very well. It's not
subject.
A complaint. It's a very simple thing that's an issue that does not require that will get quick action based on what it is. It's not, Glenn, I need you to do a design for XYZ. It's there's a street light out. That's what you guys get paid to do. I mean, we can be very specific if you want, but the more specific you get, the more trouble you're going to get into. I'm just saying.
If it's not clear enough, we could also someone be accused of, you know, interfering and
Words are important, and that's why they were written that way.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's very clear. But if you have an issue with it, we'll have Ms. Stino take a look at it and see if she can do something better.
And then the other issue I have, it's the elected officials' communication with other public agencies.
What page?
That is on the bottom of 132. Since members act as a single body during official city meetings, such members should curb individual communications with other agencies. Understandable. Any such interaction should simply be as a citizen, not as a council member, board member. So if I'm writing MMSD and asking them a question, or the DNR and asking them a water question or something. And I'm using my city email. I'm not allowed, I'm supposed to delete my name as an elected official, because that's would be an instance where you would be contacting another agency. So it's either you are acting in your official capacity when you're talking to them or you're not. So why wouldn't you be allowed to use your title? And if you're going to say you can only do it as a citizen, then does it become not a records request? Because if you're doing it as a citizen, you're not in your aldermanic capacity, even though you're writing about some city business. So I think I would like some clarification on that one.
Well, I'll stab that one, and then someone else can respond, maybe Ms. Steno. But the reality is common council members shouldn't really be writing letters to the DNR or MMSD or any other organization that we have professional staff to do that and work with them. That's the true answer to that question. You shouldn't be writing to the DNR. You shouldn't be asking MMSD a water question. That's staff's responsibility.
As a citizen, I would have more rights than an alderperson then.
That's correct. Because you're not, as an alderman, you have the weight of the city behind you and an implication there that you're acting on behalf of the citizens, on behalf of the city, which you are not. So, yes, that is true. As a citizen, you would have more authority.
So we can contact them as a citizen, but then we can't use our title.
Yes.
And then it doesn't have to be an open records request because it's not an automatic issue.
Well, I can't answer that one, but
I'm not thinking that that's... I'd like some legal opinion on that, because that does not... It doesn't make sense that my neighbor, hey, I can't send the DNR an email, but you can, I can't. That just doesn't, then why have aldermen? I mean, if a constituent asked me, like they did with a stormwater basin, hey, Kristen, what do we have to do for a stormwater basin? I said, hey, I'll just, you know, ask them a question. I get the answer back. I give it to them, done. Now you're going to turn it into a really big process where I have to put in writing to you, I have to put in writing to Peggy, and then Peggy has to send it to the proper department, and then that proper department has to put the email together thinking that they know what I'm going to say and, you know, using my email anyway. That just is a really long way about a really simple solution that an alderman can do for a resident. And so I think that really needs to be rethought. I know what the intent there is, to, you know, kind of control the information so we all get what's filtered through by staff instead of getting a direct answer for ourselves. But I prefer to do the work and get an answer. So the other one I had is, and I don't see it right here, but it has to do with the abstentions. And I read this in another one of these league books where you can't tell an alderman that they can't abstain, and that actually would be taking away a role of the alderman to able to use Robert's Rules in order to through the process. For example, and I can understand why the abstention would be in the favor of the mayor taking that away, and that's because if we have a 3-3 vote, the mayor can break the tie, but abstention can sometimes create that 3-3 tie to break, and that sometimes is used as an ability for the council to do their duty and sometimes get things more on, you know, on the council's or the citizen's side, so it sometimes works in favor of the residents. And I don't think that telling us how we can vote is actually a process based on, I think it was a case law that I read between, I don't know if it was Madison or where it was. But I question that you can tell an alderman that they can't abstain, especially because new information could be presented or for whatever reason.
Just a point of clarification, we did cover that at the last meeting.
We did.
It was agreed that we do have the right to abstain. That was concurred by the city attorney.
Madam Director of Administration.
So we did talk about that in detail at the last meeting, and on the top of, we're on the rules now. I'm going to get you the page number. I'm under debate on page 140, Roman numeral 4. We did talk about this in length at the last meeting. This rule is in place to perhaps stop the gamesmanship that might happen when somebody participates in a debate the entire time and then perhaps tries to use some kind of a tactic to withdraw from the vote, where they're asking the city attorney about if I vote or if somebody doesn't vote, what happens. So what it says here is a member who participates, so I'll go right back to the beginning. So it starts out with a member who wishes to abstain must do so in accordance with the code. I think that's clear, and announce the same at the start of the debate or the point in time in the debate in which the member determines that he or she has a conflict with the matter. And it just says, at the end, we added the statement from the last meeting that says, a member who participates in the debate but does not voice that he, she is abstaining from the vote, and it currently says, and provide a reason, but they would just say, for a reason, is strongly discouraged from doing so, from abstaining. So it's not saying that anybody can or can't. It's saying, with all due respect, let's keep the politics out of this and make the votes if you participate in the action. Again, it council's rules, so if council's not interested in doing that, we can certainly strike.
I think what it fails to recognize, we are politicians, and it's one of our strategies. And while that may work for staff to say that we should, you know, abstain from doing that, our citizens require us to work on their behalf and do what we can to get them. I mean, when you look at the flow chart, citizens are who we take the lead from. And
I'm not debating it with you at all. I'm just telling you why it's there and what it means. It's up to the council on how you want to deal with it.
Right. And I think maybe some research on the legality of putting even strongly discouraging people from, you know, because then it makes it, someone can come back and say, oh, you know, she's strongly discouraged, she's still doing that. You know,
so
what this says
is a member who participates in the debate but does not voice an abstention is strongly discouraged from abstaining.
I understand.
That's what it says. So I think you're putting two statements together, and it has nothing to do with suppressing citizens or anything like that. It's if you're going to participate in the debate, do it in the right spirit and vote. And if you're not going to participate in the vote, then don't participate
in the
debate.
It's when politics, it's not just about the spirit, though. It's also about,
again, council rule, council can make that choice.
Right. So,
that sounds like
okay. Well, that's what I said. There are things in here that I think as citizens that I represent, that I feel very strongly that this really ties the council's hands to get things done. But I guess I'm limited to three, so. Well, I said I wanted to at least get three down because I brought those up before and they weren't addressed.
Alderman Barber.
That's why I'm hoping that we can move on beyond this. I have no problem with acting as a citizen rather than being a alder person if I go to another agency. And I have no problem with the last item with the abstinence. So I'm ready to move on with the way the wording is right now.
I've been sitting in this chair for 17 years. I think I've abstained twice. Both times it was because there was an action item for my parish where they had a license in front of us, and I just didn't want anybody to have the opportunity to say you had a vested interest. My own personal opinion, and everybody has to behave the way they want to behave, you are hired and paid just to vote for your constituents, and that's a positive action. Abstaining, whether it's political or not, is not representing your citizens because you've now taken their voice away by not being in the chair. And Alderwoman, you're welcome to disagree with that.
I don't know of anybody at this table other than you that have used abstentions as a weapon. And
where's that point in here where I can say something where I call you out on saying something unpolite because that was
All right, so Alderman Wilhelm believes that I was just impolite to her. If that is the case, I apologize for the sensitivity. Well, that's what it is. It's a weapon. It's a weapon and a tool. So, you know. So the motion is to table. Is that correct? Alderman Nelson, you have your hand up.
Yes. Just to confirm that we are to table this until the first meeting in September.
That is the motion. And the director of administration is going to take the three that Alderman Wilhelm has had issues with and see what she can do about either making the clear wording even more clear or changing the wording such that it reads.
I have four. Social media, the contact with employees, contact to other agencies, and the abstention. So I have those four. I have a couple technical corrections from the city attorney, and I have two corrections on the attire just to clarify. That's okay. What I have from this meeting. Is that correct?
Alderman Wilhelm, is that correct? And then we'll move on.
It is correct, although if any council members up here feel like that there were any sort of validity to any comments that I made, I would hope that they would like to know what the rest of my concerns were because it's going to affect your jobs very much so. So I don't know how I would be able to get those out. Apparently, you know, this is being recorded and citizens could hear those concerns, but the last time I tried to voice them, I was told put them in writing, and so the citizens did not get a chance to hear what the concerns of the document are. And I think that's a disservice to the citizens that they can't hear all the points that could be a possibility. Not saying they are, but I think the citizens deserve to know all the different angles and points and what could be within this document and how it could affect them.
Alderman Nelson.
Well, I think earlier it was brought up that Alderwoman Wilhelm talked with Director of Administration on the side or off record to go over all her points, and then that could be brought up here at the meeting on the 7th. Because that way, I firmly believe that Alderwoman Wilhelm's got plenty of valid points, but they could be brought up with the Director of Administration on a one-on-one. I thought that's what we agreed on earlier.
Alderman Barber.
I guess I don't see this as a political document. I see this as the document that's for us to set up for ourselves. I'm not sure politics needs to be involved with it.
Short timer.
Well, since I'm looking at this from the outside in, I want you guys, you're going to be voting on this. And I want you to hear the words that Alderwoman Wilhelm said about the action to do. I think you have to be very careful about doing anything or how you do it. Your position as an elected official is to guide your constituents, listen to your constituents and guide them and direct them to the employees that are employed by the city. If the action becomes you doing it, you open yourself up to a liability. So I just heed some restriction here and slow down and get the proper references and get them directed to the proper source. Because if you start doing things, you are opening up a can of worms. That's all.
The motion is to table. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's see. Thank you very much. Page 153, an ordinance to amend 2024-53, adopting 2021 annual budgets for capital improvement and development for $144,000 additional recreation facilities appropriations and transfers of the related park impact fees and $6,500 of Market Avenue project costs.
I move adoption.
Second.
Hanneman and Nelson, all those in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, roll call. Sorry, apologies.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. G17 is best hold for a minute. We need to do the city attorney or the and 18. If I go to page 8, there we go. We're going to skip to G18, folks. This is a series of closed session items, which we'll ask all of you to not partake in. So we're going to go into closed session. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stat 19.85 sub 1 sub G to confer with legal counsel for the... excuse me, I apologize. Let's do the public items first. Licenses, H1, Alderman Nelson.
Point of order.
Intentionally. I did it all intentionally, folks. Okay.
There might be people here in the audience that you're going to have leave the room for us to do closed sessions, so then they might not be able to hear the Parkland acquisition item. Is that?
Is anyone here for Parkland acquisition? It doesn't. It's not. Okay. So we're going to go back to my intention of licenses, and then we'll do vouchers, and then we'll do our closed session items, and we'll do Parkland acquisition too, but that relates to the dog park thing too. Alderman Nelson.
Okay, page 1, approve the first 5 down to Deke. Brandon Hamilton Smith, hold for appearance. The rest on page 1 are approved. Page 2, the top 2 are approved. Then we go to Andy One Inc. That's approved pending inspections. Then approve the last 3. And on the Polish Heritage Alliance, it's approved the for the outdoor permitting, excluding the parking lot.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Hanneman. All those in favor of the motion to...
Oh.
There was a... You're asking, where's the Polish Heritage Alliance?
Yes.
That was a separate action item for the... Madam Clerk.
There was a revised agenda emailed to yesterday. They are asking for a premise description just to include their outside areas. They are having an event this weekend. The premise description will be in force for the full license year through June 30th of next year. This will cover when they have weddings and fish fries and people want to sit on their patio or in their front yard. Their event this weekend is less than 200 people, so it doesn't qualify for a extraordinary event license, but the possibility of somebody selling or consuming beer outside for this weekend would necessitate their extension of premise.
And we wouldn't want to have them violate their liquor license by having somebody walk outside to the back patio with a beer in their hand. So that's what that is. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I-1, is there a motion approving the following city vouchers on any date of July 15, 2021 in the amount of $852,802.07 and payroll dated July 16, 2021 in the amount of $430,409.40 and payments to the various payroll deductions in the amount of $241,460.04 and city matching payments and estimated payroll for July 30th, estimated $457,000, payments to the various payroll deductions estimated $455,000 plus city matching payments.
So move.
Second.
Barbara and Hanneman, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. We're going to jump around a little bit, move to G18. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stat 1985 sub 1 sub G to confer with legal counsel for the common counsel who is rendering advice concerning a strategy to be adopted by the body respect to subject litigation and to reenter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed therein as it deems appropriate? This deals with Sam's Real Estate Business Trust versus the City of Milwaukee.
And Walmart.
And Walmart. Madam Clerk.
You said City of Milwaukee.
Did I say City?
Yes.
You did, yes.
Wow. City of Franklin is involved in this lawsuit. City of Milwaukee may have their own, but that's not our business.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Barb, Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. We're in executive session, so we're going to ask all of you to leave, except for the attorney.
Friendly dog park.
If you want, you don't have to stay.
The recording has.
It is 8:38. We are back into open session with a slight pause here for a moment. There will be no action taken on the previous item, which is item G18. No action is being taken. And for the council, I want to move to
16.
I'm going to move to 18.
We were there already.
Parks request for common council. No, what did I say? 18? Oh, man, it's terrible getting old. We're going to go to 19. Now, for all of those of you who believe that I have this iron-fisted control over the agenda, you see the results of that. I don't have any control over it. Because if I was good at this, I would have changed the order.
The Park Commission
is by. And the only person here is Joe. Did he leave? And I talked to him after church saying, Joe, hang around, we'll let you in. But who's left? John? Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stats 1985 sub 1 sub E for market competition and bargaining reasons to consider a potential acquisition of property to be used for public dog park purposes in the city and re-enter open session at the same place therein after to act on such matters as discussed therein as it deems appropriate. This is item G19.
So moved.
We have an argument over who moved and seconded. I'm going to.
We'll give
it. We'll give it to the short timer. Dandrea and Hanneman. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
We are in closed session. It's 8:55. We're back in open session. Is there a motion to... is it the council's direction that we shall not pursue a dog park at this location? At the Menards location? What else did I say? Is that, and not to negotiate with Menards for purchases or lease of the site. Alderman Dandrea, Alderman Barber. All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so given that, we move to back to 17, which is additional $3,035 for Sigma Group. Mr. City Engineer, do we need to pursue that any longer? Or is that sunk cost? Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Hanneman and Barber. All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And then now we move back to item 16, report of Vandewall and support of Parkland Acquisition Services. Who's doing this? Alderman Hanneman.
Thank you. Take this one as the council representative to the Parks Commission, and we've put quite a bit of time and energy into this, very much so with the help of Ms. Stino and Mr. Ratzenberg and the city engineer, putting together a lot of information. This is purely a status update, and I'm happy to take any feedback that you might have, any comments or suggestions. We will be presenting this to the Plan Commission this coming Thursday night. So, well, you won't see it again, but so we will be asking for input and endorsement from the Plan Commission at that point in time. So I'm happy to...
Alderman Wilhelm did have an important point, and I frankly don't recall. There is no mention of dog parks in this document. Now, to me, that doesn't mean we can't include one in one of these park areas, but it's important to note that the Corp calls out dog parks.
Yes.
But it's not in this document.
And we have used the terms dog amenities, which can or may include a dog park at some location in the future.
Questions? Alderman Wilhelm.
So, I've been part of this council when we directed the Park Commission to find a location for a dog park in the past, and the result of that, I believe, and I studied this whole thing when Shelley was going through this, but I didn't retain it all or save it or anything because I thought we were kind of beyond that. But the Rucker Milkey report was an amendment to the 2002 impact fee study and the 2004 impact fee update and the 2013 impact fee update in April of 2015. And when the council had asked them to look at it previously, they ended up doing this update, and they put in for planning purposes the cost of a lighted tennis court, unlighted tennis courts, dog park, not amenities, dog park, restrooms, facilities, fitness stations, plazas, were added into table 24, plan facilities and facility development cost summary. And then they gave a total of $470,000. The cost of park improvement was then allocated in table 26 for acquisition and development of those items, and these features could be added at any city park as determined is appropriate for such features listed as anticipated, or a specific park could be reallocated to any different city park. And then they show the chart, and they call the dog park under community park, so it's not just an amenity to a neighborhood park. And then they show I guess that's pretty much it on that one. So I just want to point out that it's really important that we memorialize the dog park idea as a community amenity in the park plan, because we've had that direction several times. So if you could take that forward, that we would like to see a dog park, that would be great. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that I can share that with the Parks Commission, and that may be an oversight. No passing notes. Sorry, and that's well taken. And I think that can be easily adjusted. This particular study, though, is not focused on particular amenities. This is focused on what types of properties we want to spend park impact fee money on over the ensuing years, so that when people come to the city of Franklin and they pay their park impact fee, we have a plan to show them that this is how we intend for this money to be used, be it for trails, be it for a a community park or a mini park or whatever. And so this, the intent of this study is to outline the various scenarios to help us budget for spending down our park impact fees over the next 8 to 10 years. There are some documents that were part of the Parks Commission packet that are not here with the draft report, but these were put together by this particular report that Mistino put together for us really looks at city projects related to impact fees and estimated timing and expense and what percent of the project can be paid for by impact fees. And this goes, this one just goes through the 2022 budget, but at least gives us a plan as we start to budget and how then it might fit in if we want to look at the various scenarios. I think we have a good 8 or so towards the back. Yeah, we have different scenarios as to what types of land we could acquire with the money, for what purposes, and what the estimated cost would be, and when we might want to spend that. Okay. The key here is knowing that we need to spend $1.2 million in park impact fees by the end of next year, and looking at how we're going to be spending that and where we're going to get the biggest bang for our buck as a city. And so there's been a lot of talk about the connectivity of our trails, particularly the Ryan Creek Trail, some of the trails we've talked about tonight. And then ultimately when we bring on the parcels from waste management that are going to be deeded over to us, how that's going to be used. And so we're putting all of those pieces together so we can look long term at how we're going to spend the money we have with the land that we have or want. So any
questions?
Okay.
I kind of like the idea of moving forward, and maybe not at this point with this, but I like the phrasing of park or pet amenities rather than pet parks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see possibly us holding that as an option rather than being specific about a park. So it could give us different kinds of options at that point.
And I think the important thing to note is that now that we do show that the corp has been amended with the term dog park, that park impact fee monies can be used for that rather than how it's termed in this particular report.
There is a particular parcel
that I'm not going to name because it's a sensitive habitat. But I've talked to the city attorney about this in the past, and as a resource for future parks and seeding and mitigation projects, it could be a really good site for us to have. Because of the sensitivity of the plant species there, I'm not going to name it, but maybe you could talk to me offline. And the city really should have that. It's been identified as pretty important.
Okay.
So Glenn, I think we've talked about it as well. Let me see. Yeah.
So we will take this to Plan Commission Thursday night, and it will come back to you again later in August, early September, for hopeful adoption.
This is a status update. There is no action required. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Alderman Dandridge, for your service to the community, and best of luck.
When do you leave town?
Thank you.
Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you.